Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second half hour of hour number two on this last day of the year for this show, Friday, December 29th, 2023. Greatly appreciate you guys being part of it. Got a couple of text messages during the break. Is this process clearly defined in the Constitution? If so, where?
Yeah, well, it would be in Articles 1 and 2.
Right.
Well, yes, I'd say it's fairly clearly defined. A treaty has to be approved by the Senate. Yes, two-thirds majority. That's clearly defined. And it's also clearly with the Louisiana Purchase, the Congress has to approve of expenditure of funds. Yes. I would say yes, pretty clearly defined. But I said in recent years, the presidents get around that by not calling it a treaty, saying I just made an agreement, and trying to, get around because they don't have the political support to get two-thirds majority vote.
Okay, so when it involves appropriations, like the purchase of land territory, Congress in the House of Representatives has to spend the money. They start right with appropriations there.
Right.
Then the upper chamber, they call it, the big brothers, then they give their blessing to the spending of the money.
Yes.
But that's
only one portion of it. If it's a treaty, two-thirds majority of the Senate has to approve of it.
Right. Got it. It's not a simple majority vote. It's two-thirds. Right. It's a higher requirement.
To approve of a treaty. Yes.
Got it. Okay, got it. Now, one other question came in is pretty interesting. Why do we not have more treaties lately compared to what we had throughout our history? Is this now because of that threshold of two-thirds you're saying is why they don't go with treaties anymore?
Partly, you're going to cause me to jump ahead here to answer this, but we belong to North American Free Trade Agreement, which was a treaty, and it has been adopted by the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement. And we have the World Trade Organization, of which we're a part of. Multilateral treaties that empower these organizations. Before WTO, it was GATT, General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade, that we entered into these multilateral agreements with a bunch of countries, and that kind of we don't make that many what we call bilateral treaties anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And which is what I was going to say when I got there. I guess I'll say it now because I'm talking about it. George Washington never would have approved of this. He said specifically in his farewell address to have no permanent alliances with any portion of the foreign world. He would not have wanted us to enter into these type of agreements, but we did.
Into treaties or into agreements?
Well, these are treaties.
Okay, so you're calling them treaties even though they're not labeled as such.
Yes, correct, because they went to the Senate. And before that, the UN, which was a very big deal. The UN... Okay, let me talk about the UN. I'll get back to the Mexican War because I'm on it. First of all, you heard me say, and I think it's true, Roosevelt was way ahead of the country in wanting getting involved in World War II. I mean, he was getting phone calls from Churchill saying, we need your help, we need your help. And Roosevelt was doing what he could to have the United States help Britain against the Nazis. However, about 80% of the American people didn't want to get involved. And so we had the Lend-Lease Act, and then we had cash and carry, then we had the Lend-Lease Act. A few things that we did, Congress did, to give some marginal help to Great Britain, especially when they were standing alone before Pearl Harbor, before we got in the war. And Roosevelt wanted to get in the war. This is led, by the way, to many people say he provoked Japan to attack us and even knew that Japan was going to attack us at Pearl Harbor so that he knew that would awaken the American people. We'd declare war and we could defeat the militarists in Japan and the Nazis in Italy and in Germany, which I don't really go there that far. But I will go this far. Roosevelt wanted us to get involved in world affairs. The Republican Party of the 1940s was just like the Republican Party of the 20s and 30s. They were isolationists, if you want to call that, America first, whatever term you want to put on it. We weren't ready to do it. And the American people with it were with that idea of foreign policy, isolationist, America first. But after Pearl Harbor, that changed. During the war, during World War II, we entered into something it's called the Atlantic Charter, an alliance with all the allies. And so you had Roosevelt talking with Churchill and Stalin about forming a new organization. And when they met at Yalta during the war, Roosevelt said it was had in mind something called the United Nations. I'm giving a quote from a historian. Roosevelt saw the United Nations as the crowning achievement of his political career. And even the Republicans by this time were open to it. Wendell Willkie was one of his opponents. He was a he played a key role in promoting the idea of the United States. And there was a book he wrote, One World. So by the end of World War II, Americans were saying, we don't want any more wars like this. This is a terrible. World War II was the worst war in human history. So we need an organization called the United Nations in which we will lead. It'll be in the United States, and we'll support it. On July 28, 1945, by a vote of 89-2, the United States Senate approved joining the United Nations. So 89-2, the world was overwhelming, the world and the United States, overwhelmingly for forming the UN. Now, none of us saw where this was going, where the UN would have its own military and would exert what we believe unconstitutional pressure on us to deny our own sovereignty. And I'm convinced.
How did they sell it? What was the pitch in the beginning?
Okay, it's easy. Hey, 60 to 80 million people have died in World War II. You want another world war? Of course you don't. We need an organization where people can get together and talk and work out our differences peacefully so we don't go to war.
Okay, so that was the total basis, because this would be United Nations. Every country in the world would be allowed to come and send representatives and kumbaya, and we would talk things out, and we would never have to go to war ever again.
Right. And now listen, conservatives, and we would call ourselves, I'd call myself a paleo conservative. What does that mean? I'm an old school conservative. That means not a neocon,
No.
George W. Bush was a neocon. I'm not insulting.
So was his father. Yep.
Right. I'm totally not insulting him. I'm just giving the facts here.
Right.
They believed that the United States was the leader of the free world. We were the leader of the world. And it was kind of our God-given responsibility to keep peace around the world. And therefore, we have to exert our power wherever it is necessary to keep peace and to promote freedom. The only difference between, let's say, George W. Bush and, let's say, Biden, philosophically, was George W. Bush said, I want a world where freedom, free markets, free enterprise dominates, and we'll use American power to make it so. Whereas Biden would say, yeah, we're in a world system, but, you know, it doesn't have to be free market. It doesn't have to be like these conservatives envision it, you know, on free market principles. It could be more socialistic. The argument was not on having a one world system. The argument was, what kind of one world system? Now, the old conservatives, Henry Cabot Lodge, I will go back, virtually every president until FDR. With the exception of Wilson. But most all the presidents are saying, no, listen, we're president of the United States. We still believe in what George Washington believed in. We're not going to have any permanent alliance with any portion of the foreign world. We're going to operate our foreign policy on enlightened self-interest and justice. We're going to do what's best for us. The only person And the world stage that said that since would have been first Pat Buchanan and then Trump.
Yeah, Donald J. Trump. Absolutely.
But Pat Buchanan, 30 years ago, this is what he argued.
He sounded a lot like Donald Trump back then. But
he was a little more cerebral. I mean, if I may say that, I mean, Pat Buchanan was he was a student of history, and he understood all these things.
Right.
Whereas President Trump was saying, well, wait a minute, I'm a president of the United States. Nobody elected me president of the free world.
Yep.
I didn't take an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the United Nations.
Nope.
I took an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. And it is one nation in which the American people elected me as a chief executive, and I'm going to perform my duties in what's best for the United States.
Yep. America first.
America first.
Well, now, on that point, looking back throughout history, especially the United Nations and how it's evolved, almost like any federal bureaucratic agency, you know, you have original intent. I always talk about original intent. You know, what was the DNR set up for in Michigan? You know, managing our timber and issuing hunting and fishing licenses. That was it. Now look at the behemoth they've grown into. Why is it every single institution grows and assumes powers that was never included in the original intent?
It's the nature of human existence. It's the way it always works. Bureaucracies, the only way you can cut a bureaucracy, you got to starve it. You just got to cut their funding. You just have to.
Cut the head of the snake off.
But then you start cutting DNR, or if you cut DNR, you don't care about deer management. Or if you cut OSHA, you don't care about worker safety. Or you cut, you know, what's the new organization? It's not the DNR, but it's to protect us from
Eagle. Eagle in Michigan.
Okay, and then on the national level, it's the EPA, right?
Yep.
Oh, you want to? You're a polluter. And it's no, I'm not. I'm just saying we don't want government bureaucracy to grow and grow. And we have to cut funding. But it always like I said, one of the things I said in all negotiations, all treaties, there is political maneuvering. But by the middle of World War II, we were ready. The American people, by and large, were ready for us to join. I don't think they saw what was coming, or only a few saw what was coming. Because it's ironic, only 5 years earlier, they never would have joined it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we're up against a commercial break. Final segment of the discussion today. Send me your text messages, 231-360-5140. We'll be right back. Montana Black Angus beef raised in Onaway, Michigan. Tellini Farms have been raising their cows by feeding them non-GMO corn, barley, wheat, and alfalfa hay, all grown on their own farm. Taking the Ebels for processing, aged, standard cut, vacuum sealed, and frozen, ready for immediate delivery directly to you. Call them today at 989-733-2782 for their current $4 per hanging weight pound. Quarters or halves will feed your family for a year. Call them right now at 989-733-2782.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
Politics doesn't belong in the classroom, nor does the woke agenda. Hi, it's Dr. Sherry O'Donnell, running for U.S. Senate. As a physician, I know the importance of education. I want every child to have the same opportunities I did. That's why we must return to teaching academics rather than confusing children on gender issues. I will fight for the future of this generation. Vote Dr. Sherry O'Donnell for U.S. Senate. Paid for by Doc Sherry for Senate.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
Be a smart consumer this year. It's time for a new set of all-season tires. Or get a complete set of snow ice tires and winter wheels custom-sized to your vehicle. Bolt them on and store your summer tires and factory wheels for the winter. Stop by Royal Tire at 402 West Mitchell Street in Petoskey and order yours today. Don't wait till everybody needs them. Stop into Royal Tire in Petoskey today and beat everyone else. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Gun owners in northern Michigan don't have to go far to get their firearm problem solved. Curtis Gunsmithing handles all gun work, adjustments, bluing, rebarreling, cleaning, and even FFL transfers. Need a stock refinished or some custom work done? How about a trigger job? That's right. Let the gun doctor, Tom Curtis of Curtis Gunsmithing, take care of old Betsy. She'll be in good hands. Call 231-347-3487. That's 347-3487. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey.
Anthony works in the grocery store, saving his pennies for Sunday. Mama Leone left a note on the door. She said, "Sonny."
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Final segment of this discussion about U.S. treaties. Anything you'd like to say basically to wrap this up? Because this has been a very informative lesson plan. Greatly appreciate you doing this.
One treaty that I skipped, Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, which ended the Mexican War. And again, a position of strength. We, if there's a war, you could say the United States started or at least provoked. There was a border dispute between us and Mexico. In 1846, we believed that the Rio Grande was the border. They believed that the Nueces River, 150 miles north, was the border. We went down, camped out on the north side of the Rio Grande, which we claimed was ours. Mexico claimed was theirs. And we basically dared them to attack us. They did. And then we whipped them in fairly short order.
Right.
Now, this was pushed by the Democrats. James K. Polk was president. He was an expansionist. And there was an idea at this time, something called Manifest Destiny. It was destiny that we controlled the whole continent. And the Democrats, that's what they wanted. They wanted to expand slave territory also. People like Abraham Lincoln, who was in Congress at the time, opposed the Mexican War. The Whig Party opposed the Mexican War. It was too expansionist. Now, in the end, we won the war, and the treaty that we signed was basically they gave us virtually, you know, most of the West. They gave us a whole bunch of things, you know, New Mexico, more of Texas, Arizona, California, Nevada, and we threw in $15 million to make the going nicer. We knew we were going to win. We wanted them to attack us. We wanted that land. Good or bad? Well, if you believe in manifest destiny, say, no, God gave us this continent, and we're going to get it. And now, I know this sounds very horrible, especially for a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ to say, and we preach love and we hate war, but war is the way it works. Up until this time, Mexico had claimed vast portions all the way up to near Colorado and way up all of California, Nevada. And we say, no, that's not going to be Mexico. We'll call the Rio Grande the border. And then a little bit later, something called the Gadsden Purchase, which kind of defined the border now all the way to California. So we provoked them. They attacked first.
Right.
But then we won the war. And position of strength. And then we threw some money in to soften the blow and there you have it. And there was the Oregon Treaty up north was another one, which I don't have time to talk about, where we, first of all, we said 54-40-year fight. We're going to fight for to go all the way up, way up into what was now Vancouver. But we negotiated and we decided on the 49th parallel to be the borderline between us and Britain up there. And so the borders of the United States were pretty much settled by, 1850.
Interesting. Very interesting. Well, and the thing of it is, what possible treaties, without, hypothecating, speculating, what are we looking at for potential treaties? Do you think we need one with Mexico regarding crossing our border? Is that ever going to happen? What do you think is going to happen? Where are the next treaties on the horizon?
I don't know. A treaty with Mexico. We already have a border. They're just not controlling their border. They're not
right.
Doing their part. That's patently obvious. Anybody can see that. All these people streaming into our country, and we do virtually nothing. All President Trump wanted to do is build a wall and stop them.
Yeah.
The solution to this 100 years ago would have been easy, but it is so politically horrendous to say it. We don't. It would stop.
Can I say it? What my idea is?
Go ahead.
Put up signs. If you cross this, you'll be shot. It's that simple. You shoot them, they stop coming. I mean, you got to defend your border. You put the military down there with instructions that if they cross the Rio Grande, they put foot in our land, they float back across the Mexico.
Yeah, that sounds so harsh, but we have to do something.
You got to do. What are you going to do? You cannot. 12,412 people last Wednesday in one day. Extrapolate that out. I mean, you're looking at what? Almost a half a million people a month?
Yeah, I don't know what all the numbers are, but you can't do this. This is not sustainable. We cannot absorb all these people coming into our country. Now, that said, if I see them, I'm going to give them a Spanish gospel track and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and how to be saved.
But tell them they need to learn English and give them an English track. do not be an enabler, sir. Those signs at Lowe's totally tick me off. So.
I've got a higher responsibility to give them the gospel. But on a political level, we have to control our borders. That's all.
Absolutely. All right. Very good. Well, listen, good history lesson. Greatly appreciate it. Tom Banks, the church, Israel, even the gods, see Psalms 82. Okay. I appreciate that, Tom. You have to remember the basic principle that every institution becomes corrupt, no exceptions. All right.
General rule.
Yeah, a little preaching there from one of your parishioners.
So. There you go. Thanks, Tom.
What are we talking about the last day of the year?
But prayer.
Prayer.
But prayer.
But prayer. That means sitting on your butt is how you pray?
No.
No. Okay, sir. I greatly appreciate it. We're going to be producing it. Hear him on the radio, 11 from noon. We greatly appreciate you. God bless, sir.
Amen. God bless you.
Final hour of today's show. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop.
Find everything you need to ride at Northern Leathers and Accessories, where comfort and style meet no matter the season. Find parts, equipment, and other products for motorcycles, snowmobiles, and ATVs, including products from Drag Specialties, Parts Unlimited, Moose Utilities, Lucas, and Champion Power, plus apparel for men, women, and children, including big and tall sizes. Quality items at prices you can afford. Stop in today to browse our selection located on US 131 in Elba. We are more than just leathers.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. Slim Fast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back plus some.
Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days without any exercising. Then I met Missy of MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com. Follow my journey with Missy and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real food.